attitudes in a past life. For example, one man with digestive system disorders was told in his KC reading that in a past lifetime he had been a glutton. There was not so much a karmic debt to be repaid as there was a memory within his soul of having abused the physical body. In the current lifetime, he was meeting the results of what he had done to his physical body in the past. If it were just a debt to be paid off, then the karma might be removed by one lifetime of digestive system discomfort. However, in Casey's view of reincarnation, the karmic memory will be transformed only when the man makes a sincere change in attitude and behavior toward his body. It might take months, or years, or lifetimes. Innate character traits are another area where we can easily observe karmic memory. Each of us is apparently born with a certain disposition. We like particular things and dislike others. Our temperaments cannot be fully explained by inheritance or childhood imitation, although those two ingredients also have a role to play. For example, a youngster may show a ready sense of humor, but can it be fully explained by a playful, fun-loving home in the child's early years? Or what about identical twins who have exactly the same genetic makeup and may have virtually the same environment? Often they will show strong differences in temperament. Talents and skills are a third category of karmic memory often mentioned by Casey. This is the side of past life influences that we are glad to have. All of us are born with natural gifts. Admittedly, some people appear to be more gifted than others, but it may well be that modern society occasionally doesn't recognize or value some of the gifts that we bring with us from past lives. Even a handicapped child is a soul who incarnates with certain talents or abilities. We need to learn how to recognize the sensitivity, the love, and the joy that may be expressed naturally through that person. And finally, our interpersonal relations are a primary way in which we encounter past life memories. Who hasn't had the experience of meeting someone new and instantly liking him or disliking him? Among Casey's definitions of karma is one that says that karma is giving way to impulse. Do you ever observe yourself acting impulsively in relationships, feeling compelled to do or say something? That kind of automatic reaction is likely to be karmic. But remember that karma is not all bad or burdensome. The people with whom we feel easy rapport are likely to be souls with whom we have worked cooperatively in the past. Those people who help us along the way may very well be those who helped us in the distant past or ones whom we have helped. Since the workings of karma sometimes seem complex or subtle, it makes sense to look for a basic pattern that summarizes its effects. Any simple direct model is bound to miss some of the details, but it can be very useful to get the overall picture of how things operate. Fundamentally, karma works in one of two ways: the repetition of patterns from past lives, or mirror opposite of past life memories. Let's consider first how souls tend to repeat patterns from one lifetime to the next. What is this principle of recurrence? The most remarkable cases are probably those in which characteristics of the physical body seem to carry over. For example, there are cases which suggest that sometimes a birthmark may be related to a physical trauma in the preceding lifetime. Dr. Ian Stevenson of the University of Virginia has conducted extensive research on this subject for more than 25 years. His investigations of evidence for reincarnation have focused on children who claim to have conscious memories of a past life. For several of these young people, the details of the past life story match a birthmark on the new child's body. Just as the physical body may show evidence of a karmic pattern repeating itself from one lifetime to another, so too can we see evidence of repetition and characteristics of temperament. A soul which has had a lifetime of power and authority may well be authoritarian in the next lifetime. However, problems can arise because frequently the conditions aren't the same. That same soul may find itself in situations where it has little power, and yet it still feels compelled to act that way. Perhaps it's easier to observe this in other people than it is to see in ourselves. All of us can probably think of someone whose personality characteristics just don't seem to match the conditions of life they find themselves in. It almost seems as if the temperament is mismatched to the person's situation. What we may be seeing is karma at work, the repetition of patterns from the past. Interpersonal relationships can also operate karmically by a law of recurrence. Souls have a tendency to behave toward each other the same way in lifetime after lifetime. Just imagine how easily relationships get into ruts in the current lifetime. In essence, nothing magical happens at death, since each soul has a continuity of life. Taking on new bodies and new personalities.